You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
WIT on a Saturday morning. Whole lot. Every week a whole lot happens. It's Philadelphia. Every week a whole lot happens. Some of it good. Some of it okay. Some of it, it's like panic sets in the streets. Some of it is an overreaction. Overreactions happen multiple mornings between 6 and 10 here in WIP. But it is an overreaction to a lot of things. So what I'm here to do is try to help explain, since I do something which is uncommon, and I actually talk to people involved with the teams. I don't have to sit here and wait for them to call in. I go down and talk to them. So, all right, we'll start. I guess we could start with the Phillies. I mean, they're I don't even know if they're the main topic of discussion right now. They've won four in a row. They have everybody excited again, which they should. I mean, you won four in a row. They have everybody excited again. People are talking baseball, but they're focusing probably on the wrong thing. But whatever it may be, it's Philadelphia. All right, so let's start with baseball. The Phillies won their fourth straight. And this is the way the Phillies win games, by hitting home runs. It's obvious that you will rarely see a team that plays small ball. And I think if they get to the playoffs, and they're still not in there yet, if they get to the playoffs, they're going to have to do some of that. Some of that they're going to have to do. The one thing that you, well, there's a lot of things that you realize. Well, one of the things that I realized this week is the Chicago Cubs are an ordinary team. It would not shock me that the Cubs don't make the playoffs. And if the Cubs don't make the playoffs, then the Phillies have a better chance. St. Louis, and none of those teams are really that good that are playing for, I don't like the wild card. I don't like this one game playoff. I don't like putting in teams that aren't that good. Teams that win the division are usually good. Although in the Central Division, in the National League, obviously there's not many teams that are really that good in that division. They are in the West. In the East, we know Atlanta is a very, very, very good team. And a very good team for many years. But the Cubs are just so ordinary, and I don't understand why they're so ordinary. But then when you see them against the Phillies, now, the first game, obviously, well, not obviously. The first game, I'm still in town. And the next game, I went to Jacksonville for the Eagles game. But you still can see it, and you still, nowadays, you get so many highlights and so many things you understand. But the one thing that I did understand, and I will reverse myself. First of all, I think Gabe Kapler's back next year. And unless there's somebody better, I don't know that you really should make a change. Charlie Manuel's not going to be the manager. I don't think Charlie Manuel, and I'll tell you why I don't think he had really much to do with the turnaround in offense. But let me just get to the other point. I'm going to backpedal a little bit. I said if Joe Maddon was available, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, and the Phillies decided to replace Gabe Kapler, and again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's the manager next year. People are going to have to get over it. The people that whine and complain, the campaign to get him fired in the morning here in WIP is ridiculous. It's all for just a personal agenda. And that's not the way it is. I don't think Gabe Kapler is a great manager. I think he's better than okay. And the manager, as I've said before, I think the manager really loses games rather than wins games for a baseball team. Joe Maddon lost that third game for the Chicago Cubs. So where I'm backtracking here, I said I would take Joe Maddon. If he was available, then I would think about Joe Maddon as an ex-manager of the Phillies if the Phillies decided to make a change. I am amending that and saying Joe Maddon is a fraud. The manager of the Chicago Cubs is a total fraud. He had a terrific team. And, that, you know, I should have listened to my philosophy. My philosophy is managers can only lose games and rarely win them. Joe Maddon didn't win games for the Chicago Cubs. The players that he had won him a World Series. The players that he had won him a division. And that game the other night, it's great that the Phillies won. But Yu Darvish had thrown 92 pitches. The Phillies couldn't do anything against him. And because Joe Maddon, obviously, he's locked into this stupid analytics nonsense where, well, you can't go six innings is usually the number. Seven innings, you're facing the batters from the third and fourth time. It didn't matter how many times the Phillies faced Darvish. They couldn't get enough hits. They only had four against him in seven innings. And if he stays in the game, the Phillies don't win the game. So the fact that the Phillies won the game, swept the series, Bryce Harper would have never come up in the ninth inning with the bases loaded to hit the grand slam. All that excitement, and it was obviously very, very exciting for Phillies fans, very exciting for nationally and very exciting for Philadelphia, all those things. But that never happens if Joe Maddon leaves the pitcher, his starting pitcher in there, which he should have done. Joe Maddon is now off my list of being a manager that I think is a good manager. I think he was a product of a lot of good players. But he thinks he's all that, you know, and I tried to get over that. But, I don't want to dwell on Joe Maddon. I also think that Cole Hamels threw the Phillies a bone. His first time pitching here since he was a Philly. He obviously loves the area, still has a home, still basically lives in the area. And I think he threw the Phillies a gift. There's no way Cole Hamels can go only two innings and give up eight runs. He's too good a pitcher. And then he doesn't cover first base at one point. I just think, I'm not saying he threw the game. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But I don't know that he had the energy and the effort to go out and beat the Phillies. So the fact that the Phillies swept the series is great. They beat a bad San Diego's turned into a bad team, although their minor league system is terrific. Tatis is gone for the season. I would have loved to see him play. Because you can watch him on television, or you could have, and I've seen different highlights of Tatis, but he's out for the rest of the season. That means he's not playing against the Phillies last night or in this series. All right, now, so let me address Charlie Manuel. People know my previous stance on Charlie Manuel. Again, I think it's the players that won that World Series. But the fans, because Charlie's a really good guy, and people fall in love with that kind of country, I call it a country approach to things, and he's a good old boy, and he's a good guy. He really is a nice guy. But as a manager, I think he was given too much credit. Phillies won a World Series. I think Dallas Green was a better manager. But that being an aside, there's some people that don't remember Dallas Green that managed the 80 World Series Phillies team. But they had a lot of great players, too. Charlie Manuel had a lot of great players. He had three players that were in the middle of a terrific career, and that would be Utley, Howard, Rollins. He had five players playing for contracts. But, all right, let me move forward. And Jimmy Williams was his bench coach. And people kind of forget that part of it. Jimmy Williams left the Phillies because he wanted more money because he felt he had a lot to do with managing the Phillies in 2008. And the Phillies weren't paying anybody. They let Davey Lopes go, who was a really good coach. They let Jimmy Williams go, who wasn't a very personable guy, but he did a lot to help the Phillies. But now let's turn to today. Charlie's a really good guy. Charlie's loved by everybody in Philadelphia. Charlie is supposed to be this hitting guru, yet under his watch, they fired two hitting coaches. Why couldn't Charlie help those hitting coaches help the players? In many cases, players do what they want to do. And you heard Bryce Harper and Reese Hoskins the day they announced this, and they don't really believe the hitting coach is the one that's going to change things. They have to go out there and do their job. And at this point in their careers, they know, and they watch video, and they see what they do. And Bryce Harper said, yeah, and even on the MLB Network after he hits the Grand Slam, they asked him about Charlie Manuel. He says, basically, he kind of poo-pooed it. And what is Charlie Manuel going to do in a few days? So people love to give Charlie credit for this change. The change that happened and changed the mentality of the Phillies was they made a change. So sometimes it kind of gets players to refocus, and they like their hitting coach, and he and the pitching coach is going to have to get fired at the end of the year too. The hitting coach, somebody had to take the bullet. So it wasn't going to be Gabe Kapler, and it shouldn't have been Gabe Kapler, but was going to have to take the bullet. It was John Maley that was the hitting coach who took the bullet, but a lot of the players really liked him. So, and sometimes players will take responsibility and realize, well, I got that guy fired, or we got that guy fired. And then they refocus. But it's pretty obvious, and it's based on these games, that the Phillies don't really score unless they hit home runs. They had three last night. The Grand Slam obviously wins it for them in the third Cubs game. They had three last night, but they don't score runs without hitting home runs. I don't care about walks. I don't care about all that nonsense. They're just not a team that plays small ball, that gets hits with men in scoring position. But Bryce Harper did it. Had a home run last night when it became a close game again. It was 4-3. I think it was 4-3 when he hit the home run. Home runs are what the Phillies need to win. And if they don't hit home runs, they're not going to score runs. Has nothing to do with the hitting coach, but it woke up the players by making a change, whether it was Charlie Manuel or whether it was somebody else. By making a change, I think it woke up the players and got them to look at themselves and tell themselves, we have to do a better job. And that's what happened. That's what happened. Wasn't Charlie Manuel in less than a week? It's going to get these guys to change their hitting approach. And there's one thing that they're doing differently, and they started to do it before Charlie Manuel got here. They weren't doing enough. The pitching still isn't good enough, but they're starting to swing earlier in the count. And now other teams, when you start facing good pitching, and I don't think the Cubs' bullpen is a joke. All those people that wanted Craig Kimbrell, God bless you, because he came to the Cubs, he wasn't that good, and then he got hurt, and it's a zero for the Cubs. Their bullpen's a joke. Most bullpens in baseball are a joke when you look at the ERA of bullpens in baseball. But it's not Charlie Manuel. It's the players that are now doing what people expected they would do, and they're hitting home runs, and that scores runs. Charlie Manuel's a really good guy, but he's not changing anything in less than a week. What's he going to tell the guys? But they did start swinging earlier in the count, so now other teams with better pitching, scouts are going to see that. Pitchers were throwing pitches, whether it was because they sucked or whether because that was their approach, to try to get ahead in the count by throwing good pitches, knowing that some teams that love analytics don't swing early in the count. The Phillies players, some of them, more than before, are starting to swing earlier in the count. They were doing that before. Seems like they're doing that more. All right, so we'll talk about that. I want to get to the Eagles and this Carson Wentz, this fear, this paranoia, this, oh my gosh. And oh, they got to sign a quarterback because Cody Kessler got hurt. Oh, they've got to do this. And it's like gloom and doom. And there's a great Mike Tyson story that I want to get to as well. All right, here are the numbers. And I don't know if you're worried about Carson Wentz, and I don't think he's going to play on Thursday coming up. He's not going to play at all in the preseason, which nobody's going to do it. Most teams, if not all teams, not all teams, but most teams aren't playing the starting quarterbacks. But we'll get into that, and if you want to talk about that and your fear and your paranoia and, you're just getting all worked up that Carson Wentz isn't going to play and he isn't going to be ready. But I'm going to explain why, if he doesn't play, and I don't think he's going to play on Thursday, and that means he's not going to play at all in the preseason, I'm going to tell you why it's not as big a concern as people will lead you to believe. And I'll talk about that. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. And on your cell phones, whether it's the AT&T service that, you know, I've been using for a long time, or it's Verizon. But on AT&T, it's #9494. And on Verizon, it's #9494. I'm Howard Eskin. And it is a wonderful day here in Philadelphia. They're playing football. A game the other night. It's hard to watch preseason games. But there was real distress over their drafted quarterback, Clayton Thorson. And that all of a sudden changed. And now the worry about Cody Kessler, and they only have two quarterbacks. Now they don't have only two quarterbacks, and I'll explain that to you. And I'll explain why they're not going to go out and sign somebody right now. You got Ed and Sweet Rolls. They have blueberry as well. S'mores candy cakes. I still like the old standard as well. Peanut butter candy cakes. 94 WIP. And I am, I was looking at my phone during the break. Charlie Manuel sent out a tweet last night. And here is the tweet from Charlie Manuel. Now, whether he's tweeting or somebody else is tweeting, I have no, and using his Twitter, I mean, it's not a fake account. It's a real account, but Charlie, who knows whether Charlie has somebody do it for him. But whatever the case, the tweet is the letter I, and that's it. Now, did he get distracted and was doing something else and then forgot to go back to his Twitter and then sent it? I don't even know what this means. And here is the sick part of what Twitter is. Or sick part, but the sad part. It's not sick, it's sad. There's over 3,100 people. And this is just overnight. 3,100 people that liked this tweet. 660 people retweeted it. Now, I retweeted it with a comment just asking to explain this tweet. I don't have any idea what that tweet means. Did he just kind of forget or fall asleep or started to tweet and then fell asleep? I don't know. It's just, it's unbelievable. It truly is unbelievable. All right, whatever. All right, the Eagles. I'm going to just tell you not to worry about Carson Wentz. And here's why I'm going to tell you not to worry. Because even though the Eagles are not playing him in the preseason, and I think with the joint practice this week against the Ravens, he's going to get a lot of work in the joint practice, And with that being the case, I don't think he's playing next Thursday either. That means he's not going to play the whole preseason. The Rams coach, Sean McVay, has already said that he's not playing Jared Goff the entire preseason. And the Rams are playing, I think they're playing the Cowboys tonight. And I think this game's in Honolulu, which is just ridiculous. But for them, it's like a West Coast trip, so they're going from California. And the Cowboys a little longer, but whatever. Sean McVay has already said that 20 players are not even going to travel with the team. Players that aren't playing, you're not traveling. And most of the teams, Aaron Rodgers didn't play last night. The Packers decided not to play him. I don't know if he'll play in the last game or not. But most teams, and this is why you shouldn't worry about Carson Wentz not playing. Most teams are doing the same thing. So the Eagles are really not at a disadvantage by not playing Carson Wentz. They are not at a disadvantage because the other teams are the same way. Their first game's against Washington. I don't even know who their starting quarterback is going to be because the quarterback they drafted has not played well. What's a Case Keenum? I would assume he's going to be the starter. I don't think he's played that much of it all. The Redskins suck. Matt Ryan, I don't know if Matt Ryan's played yet or not. Can you check that? Has he played a little bit? He's played a little bit. But when you play a little bit and you play one or two series and you don't really do anything, what's the big deal? You're playing against somebody with a pass rush, but you're running plays that you're not going to get hit anyway. And I'll talk about the job that Clayton Thorson did, and I'll also tell you why you shouldn't worry, and it's unlikely. It's unlikely that they're going to sign another quarterback, and I'll tell you why in a second. Let me go to the phones. Let's go to John. John, you're on WIP.
Howard.
Yes.
Why does Tom Brady play in the preseason?
Because Tom Brady wants to play. And Tom Brady tells Bill Belichick what to do.
Let me ask you this. Is he the greatest quarterback that ever played?
No, Joe Montana is. But that's all right. He's one of the top three.
that's funny.
Yeah, but he's still a great quarterback. I'm not saying he's not a great quarterback. I still think Joe Montana, who never lost in a Super Bowl, never threw an interception in a Super Bowl, I still think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback. But again, that's a difference of opinion.
But
he won more Super Bowls because I'm going to say he won more Super Bowls because Seattle screwed up by not running. I mean, it's so simple. Atlanta's up 28-3. Tom Brady was brutal, and then Tom Brady won the last Super Bowl when he was horrible because Jared Goff was an embarrassment as a quarterback in the Super Bowl. So Joe Montana beat some good teams because the teams were better back then.
Joe Montana was surrounded by phenomenal athletes.
He
had the best receiving corps that I've ever seen.
But he has to make the decisions and make the passes.
That makes no sense what you're saying.
Okay, well, what makes sense is he never threw an interception, and he played in four Super Bowls. And Tom Brady, they're really 3-5, not 5-3.
No, they're 5-3, really.
Other teams lost the games. The other teams lost the games.
It's not even a question. Let's move on.
Well, it's not to you, but it is to me.
Well, the rest of the world, it is.
Well, not the rest of the world. There's still people that think Joe Montana is the best, but that's, it's always a matter of opinion.
If you took a poll, who would it be the greatest quarterback ever?
Well, I don't care, but most of the people, they go with what's going on today. Was Julius Erving one of the greatest players ever? But people forgot how Julius Erving played. You know, you look back.
Julius Erving was phenomenal.
Okay, but when you compare him to today's players, because it's the freshness of what's in your mind at the time. People just don't go back because they don't see video highlights. They don't see a lot of things. So to run a poll, I mean, just based on the results of these stupid polls that are run, just based on the results.
It's an eye test. Well, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback that ever played.
Okay, Tom Brady, in my opinion, is a great quarterback, but Joe Montana is the greatest. But that's not your point. Your point is, why does Tom Brady play? Because Tom Brady decides when he wants to play, he wants to play. So, but that doesn't...
Yeah, but the Patriots... Because you need the preseason to get your team up to par.
But my point is that most teams
play, you can't play being scared to get hurt.
Well, yeah, but I don't disagree with that premise. However, most teams are in the same boat. So when you think the Eagles are at a disadvantage because they're not playing Carson Wentz, most teams are doing the same thing. So everybody's at a disadvantage. So there's no real advantage when you're playing the other teams.
All right, so when Andy Reid coached, Donovan McNabb played the first week of preseason. He played probably a series or two.
Oh, well, you're second going back too
played,
many years.
He played maybe
it's
a quarter.
A different. If,
third
you know,
week
hey, John, so you can't go back that far. The whole world has changed in the NFL. Preseason has become an absolute farce, and it's a joke. It wasn't a total joke in the past. They played the first game, they played a little more the second game, and the third game, sometimes they played a half. But that doesn't exist. There is not a starting quarterback in the NFL that will play as many snaps as they used to play. So you can't
Matt
go back
Ryan
to that
played,
record.
Matt Ryan just played a half in the first, in the second preseason game of the year.
And they still lost.
Who cares?
Okay.
So you just played a half?
Okay.
Matt Ryan.
I said most teams. I said most teams do not play. Not everybody. Most teams don't play their starting quarterback.
All right, what are the good ones, though?
Well, I mean, how
then
many?
You're going to say the Rams.
Well, with Jared Goff, I don't know if he's a good quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers hasn't played yet, right?
You know what, Howard? I honestly didn't do my homework on everything. I don't know.
Okay.
Who
well,
else has
I, to my knowledge, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played a snap yet.
I don't think you have either, but.
Well,
we both have to look at every.
Well, wait a minute. Aaron Rodgers was going to play this. He didn't play the first game, and they just played the second game, and he didn't play. So he hasn't played a snap yet.
I would assume Aaron Rodgers would play. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't know if they have joint practices either. This joint practice is going to take the place, I think, of the game next week. It's not the same, but that's just the way it is. But my point is, would I like to see Carson Wentz play? Yes. But the one thing that I noticed that was different in this last game, in the pregame warm-ups, they went out and warmed up like they were playing in a game. It's not playing in a game, which they didn't do that the first week. So they went through the same routine they went through before. I'm sure they'll go through the same routine again. Would I want to see him play? Yes, I'd want to see him play. But that's just not the way it is anymore. That's not the reality of the NFL. And that's why they're going to cut down the preseason to two games. So not all four games will be a joke. Only two games will be a joke. It is what it is, but they're not at a real disadvantage because most teams are not playing their quarterbacks. And if Tom Brady wants to play, he wants to play. Hey, Carson Wentz, I'm sure, wants to play, but he doesn't have the same cachet as Tom Brady does with Bill Belichick. I mean, what happens, and it's a hypothetical, if Tom Brady gets hurt, then you say, well, that's pretty stupid. But they protect Tom. The officials protect Tom Brady, and I'm sure the Patriots, because they think they run the Robert Kraft thinks he runs the league, will tell the NFL, make sure the officials don't let Tom Brady get hurt. All right. I want to the backup quarterback or the four-string quarterback or whatever you want to call him, this created Clayton Thorson wasn't great, but he was good the other night. He came in from the beginning of the game because Cody Kessler left under concussion protocol. I think Cody Kessler's back. From what I'm hearing, I think Cody Kessler's back either for practice tomorrow or definitely for practice on Monday. They're not going to sign another quarterback. Who's out there? That's the other point. Who's out there? You're going to sign a quarterback. But who's out there? 94 WIP. 888-729-9494. By the way, the Patriots, if you want to really know what their Super Bowl record was, they were 3-5. What was he won? Six Super Bowls? I don't even know what it is anymore. But two of them he didn't win. He didn't win them because Seattle lost because Pete Carroll went brain dead by not running Marshawn Lynch. That was just stupid. The offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, he got stupid too. That was Kyle Shanahan. when all they have to do is kick a field goal on the 21-yard line and that game's over. So two of those games, really, in my mind, really aren't wins for the New England Patriots. And then last year, Tom Brady was really not that good. But Jared Goff was an embarrassment as a quarterback in last year's Super Bowl. So I'm going to give you a little more insight to the backup quarterback, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's actually not a bad guy now. But he's not a bad guy, but he's so screwed up in life, it doesn't even make any difference. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, on AT&T, #9494. On Verizon, same thing, #9494. Get back to the phones. I see Colin wants to talk about the preseason and the quarterbacks. Jim wants to talk about the Phillies. We'll do all that. And Mark Lawrence will join us at about 9:40 to take a preview look. And I know college football's coming up, I think, in a week, and the pros and what to look for, and just kind of give a little oversight on what to look for, because you're going to be betting some things. And the preseason is nutty. And that's not what you want to bet, but we'll take a little look at that as well. 94, WIP, WIP Sports Time is 8:39. 94, WIP. Mike Tyson is said in, I guess it was a show he does, and then he spoke to USA Today. I remember covering Mike Tyson when he was boxing, and he was just angry all the time. When you did an interview, he was angry all the time. And I had, I don't know how many years ago it was, I had dinner with Mike Tyson. This is after he was done boxing. He couldn't have been nicer. And then I saw him again when he did that show at the Academy of Music. Went back and talked to him. I knew people in his now family. So we talked before the show. It was so nice. But life is carefree. He's quoted as saying, "My whole life has been a waste. I've been a failure." He tended at one time to around 350 pigeons in Phoenix, Arizona. That was finding him solace in bird handling. Now, he owns a 420-acre weed farm called Tyson Ranch. He takes in about $500,000 a month from this weed farm. This is big business now. And he says he smokes about $40,000 worth of weed every month. I tell you, what, he's such a fascinating guy. Fascinating guy. It's just like two different styles of Mike Tyson. It was just two different people, which I find it very, very hilarious. Colin, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking the call.
How's everything in Delaware, Colin?
It's nice in Delaware, okay. And you're right. That weed business is going to be something else once it takes off in our area.
Oh.
It's a moneymaker that's just waiting to boom, but that's not why I was calling. I was calling because all these people want to see Carson Wentz play, and they have these joint practices already. Do you ever see it getting to the point that the preseason just says put the quarterbacks in red jerseys? And because we all want to see the guys play, they're having the joint practices already. Let's call that the preseason and put it on TV, because that's what we all want to see.
But you can't make a game out of it. That's the problem. That's what they're going to cut down the two games.
It's gambling. The gambling is the only thing that's stopping that then.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, well, it's the gambling, yeah. But it's the talent. People watch the preseason because they do bet on it, and they bet on different things, but they watch the preseason because it's football. I did not see the ratings the other night, but preseason games are not bad, but I would guarantee you that the Eagles game had a higher rating than the Phillies. Now, what happened in the Phillies game? The Eagles game was over before the ninth inning was over for the Phillies, so after the Eagles game, I'm sure people switched over to the Phillies at the end of the game, because when they know they're down, 5-0 at one time, when they're down 5-0, nobody's going to watch. And there was just no, there was no hitting, there was no excitement. So I would guarantee you the Eagles game had a better rating. Now, in the last quarter hour, when it got to the ninth inning and the Eagles game was over, then that's when people watch. But they just watch preseason football. So it's all about television is really what it comes
right
down to.
But but would Carson Wentz in a red jersey get better ratings? I think so. I think you'll have a couple more people tuning in if you got Carson Wentz in a red jersey playing football.
Would it get better ratings? No, it would be kind of like different at first. But they still, preseason, there's national preseason football it's national games for preseason football. The Hall of Fame game, which is a joke. It's the fifth game for teams.
All a joke. Yeah. I don't want to watch it anymore. I'd rather watch practice.
Matt Ryan didn't play in the first two games. Didn't play anything. And the was it last night? I guess was it last night or the night before? Whatever. When he played this week, it's the third game. He threw 14 passes. I don't know that he's going to play in the next game. This is what the NFL has become. Do I want Carson Wentz to play? Yes. Would it be more enjoyable? Yes. Would it be a risk? Yeah, it's somewhat of a risk. But the reality is, because so many teams are doing the same thing, it's not a big disadvantage. And all this angst and all this, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling because he's not playing. And you listen to that nonsense all the time. I want him to play, but it ain't happening. And they're not at a real disadvantage. Will he be ready? Yeah, he's going to be ready because they do so much in practice. And I see it. It's not like a game, but they do a lot in practice. And will he be ready? Yeah, he's going to be ready, just like everybody else is ready. But it's not a big disadvantage because the other teams aren't playing their guys either.
Yeah, I just wish we could see a little
and
more.
So do Carson. I. So do I. Yeah. But that's it's the reality of what they do. And you know, all these people now worry about. And let me just mention. And thanks for the call, Colin. Thank you.
Yeah.
Clayton Thorson played well. Some people said, oh, he stinks after the first game. That's why you can't base it on one game. He was obviously a little bit nervous. It didn't appear like he was as nervous in this game. He played well. Wasn't great, but he played well. But here's the dilemma that it creates for the Eagles. They could probably have gotten him through waivers after preseason and put him on the practice squad. I'm not so sure that can happen now. This is going to be a really, really difficult thing for the Eagles because then they would likely have to carry three quarterbacks because Sudfeld's going to have to be on the roster because he's going to be back. I don't know if it's the third or fourth game as the backup, but somewhere in that area is when he'll really be back. And people want, oh, you know, the Eagles are going to go out and sign a quarterback this week. There's nobody out there. If there was anybody out there, you wouldn't have Cody Kessler if there was anybody out there. There's nobody out there. The only time there'll be quarterbacks out there is after the last cut, and that's after the final preseason game. There won't be, well, there'll be decent quarterbacks out there. But from what I understand, Cody Kessler will be back this week. And they won't have to worry about going out and signing a quarterback. So people have to relax in that area, too, and just relax. Jim, you're on WIP.
All right, Howard, I just want to thank you for being in Philadelphia all these years. It's a pleasure, believe me.
Well, thank you.
I want to start talking about baseball. You had mentioned the only way the Phillies could score is hitting home runs.
That's the way they score. That's not the only way, but they're not a small ball team. And you notice when they score all these runs, it's because they're hitting home runs. That's against Yu Darvish, they couldn't grind out a run. But then all of a sudden, you know, the grand slam comes about because Joe Maddon was an idiot taking Darvish out of the game. But regardless of all that, last night they had three home runs. They score because they hit home runs. And if they don't, then they don't score.
Okay, here's my understanding. I know the Dodgers' pitching is superior.
Much.
But they only hit home runs. Now, could they go cold, Howard?
Now, well, first of all, when you have pitching, when you get to the playoffs, it's going to be less runs anyway. It's going to be less home runs. There's going to be less runs because there's going to be better pitching. That's where the Phillies, if they make the playoffs, are at a distinct disadvantage because they just don't have starting pitching. They're just not that good. I mean, Aaron Nola, and that's basically it. I mean, okay. When you got two guys off the out of the trash can, and Smiley and Vargas.
But if the Dodgers have to go up against Washington, what a good staff in the playoffs. Could the Dodgers go cold? Yes, right?
No, well, anybody could go cold.
Okay, Dodger mania is not, like, over.
Well, the Dodgers hit home runs, but they also do. They also play the right part of the game. One thing, and it's just one play, and we only get to see the Dodgers here one time. And just watching Cody Bellinger, who's going for a batting title, going for a home run title, move a runner from second to third with nobody out, and when he made sure he pulled the ball to the right side, that to me was impressive. And they ground out a run by doing that. The Dodgers can do other things. They have better hitters that aren't just home run hitters. Now, they're home. Cody Bellinger's not just a home run hitter. He's hitting what? I don't know if he's still hitting around 330. He's hitting around 330. You know, nobody on the Phillies is, I don't think there's anybody close to 300.
Okay. Hey, before I run out of time.
Yeah, let's play any reasonable amount of time.
Before I run out of time, let me ask you about the Yankees.
They're good.
All the home runs they hit, but do they have the pitching, Howard?
Well, here's what they have. They don't have the starting pitching, but their bullpen is terrific. In an era, this is where baseball, I think, is just foolish. In an era that they know, okay, we got to have eight guys in the bullpen. The ERAs for relief pitchers in baseball is over four combined. That's a disgrace. You have all those pitchers, and they're giving up all those runs. And that's too many bad pitchers just because you have eight, because you can just, after five, six innings, you change your pitcher, and everybody changes their pitchers. But what the Yankees have is a really good bullpen. I don't know if their starting pitcher will get them the win, because right now Houston's got the best rotation and probably the best team in the American League after they made some moves at the trade deadline. But they have a really, really, I mean, the fact that they get Greinke makes them a really good staff.
Howard, real quick, and thank you.
Go ahead.
Would it shock you if the Nationals won the World Series?
It wouldn't shock me, Jim, and thanks for the call. It wouldn't shock me. They have a good team, but they got to get Scherzer back, which he's already pitching his second simulated game, so he'll be back. It would surprise me because the Dodgers are the best team. The Dodgers are clearly the best team. It's not even a question. I'm Howard Eskin. The Philly situation, it's interesting, I think people are giving Charlie Manuel too much credit. He hasn't done anything except come there. It just shook those guys up to see a change made. But if they don't hit home runs, they're not going to score a lot of runs. And the Eagles, playing again on Thursday. The joint practices are Monday and Tuesday against the Ravens. I just don't think Carson Wentz is going to play on Thursday either. And people, would I like to see him play? Yes. People have to relax. We'll talk about it. Let me come back. WIP Sports Time is now 8:56. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin on a Saturday morning, just setting up what we started the show with. All right, the Eagles come off a preseason game. They won. Clayton Thorson, for those people that buried him after the first week, and you know who you are. You can't base it on one game, especially with a rookie. Played well. Well enough that it's going to be tough now to get him through waivers without somebody picking him up if you wanted to get him to the practice squad. That's going to be an interesting situation for the Eagles because I think I know they want to get him to the practice squad, but you have to clear waivers first, and who knows whether another team might take a chance. But that being the case, Cody Kessler, when you start the season, if you got Thorson on the roster, that's not a bad thing, because I don't know that Cody Kessler will be here, but it's too bad he had to come out of the game. It's, you know, he deserves the right to play. He'll play on Thursday night. He'll be fine. He'll play on Thursday night. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back at practice tomorrow, no later than Monday. because he'll be fine with under that concussion protocol. It just let me just tell you, he'll be fine. The preseason games, yeah, would I like to see Carson Wentz play? Sure. Am I just in stricken with the paranoia and the fear that is talked about many times on WIP? No, I'm not, because the other teams are basically in the same situation because they're not playing their guys either. There's so many injuries in the preseason. You can't worry about that. That's part of it, but you can kind of protect yourself to make sure your quarterback at least gets to the regular season. Here's the other thing you have to think about if you want to play Carson Wentz. If you're not playing Jason Peters, and you're probably not going to play him, wouldn't you worry about him without Jason Peters at left tackle? And you're not playing all your offensive linemen. So if you're not going to play all those guys to keep them fresh because it's such a long season, then it's really, you're going to have a hard time justifying playing Carson Wentz. The Phillies, another win for them last night. It's four in a row. It's hard to believe. This is the other thing. It's hard to believe that this is the longest winning streak the Phillies have had all season. Four games. That's the longest winning streak. I think didn't the Mets win, was it 8 or 10, something around 8 to 10 games in a row? The Mets. Mets have a good starting staff. Their bullpen sucks, just like most bullpens in baseball suck. The Cubs' bullpen sucks. Cubs are just an average team. It's amazing. And Joe Maddon, I can see, gets exposed when his players aren't picking him up, doing the things that we all expect that they would do. But the Phillies, when they win, they win because they hit home runs. There's no small ball in this Phillies team. I don't care about walks. I don't care about any of that stuff. They got to make contact. And the only thing I see them doing differently, and they were doing it before Charlie, all this Charlie Manuel, this chance for Charlie. Charlie's a really good guy, a really good guy. But do you honestly think that Charlie has changed these hitters in the short time that he's been here? Now, they kind of woke up a little bit. They started to swing earlier in the camp, which is not part of what analytics is. Analytics is, anybody that's a baseball purist can't stand analytics. And there's too many things that they do based on that. And I know Charlie Manuel's not an analytics guy, but he's not going to change these guys. He might pick up a couple of flaws, which guys now with video, they're going to see these things anyway. It was nice. People in Philadelphia thanked Cole Hamels. He gave the Phillies a gift with a horrible outing this week. So, Phillies play San Diego again tonight. San Diego's, I thought they would be a decent team. They will be in the future. They've got a really good young system of players, which the Phillies apparently, I say apparently, I won't bury them yet, but they don't have as many. When you have injuries, and you have to go out and sign all these players that have been waived and cut, that's not a good farm system. And that's got to change if the Phillies are going to be. You can't just win by signing free agents. And I know after this season, Phillies will probably start assign a starting pitcher. They got to go out and get a third baseman. So they're going to sign more, but that's not the way you win. You win because you have good minor league players that you have developed that are part of your team. Todd, you're on WIP.
Yeah, hey, Howard, Todd in Wilmington, another Delawarean calling.
There you go, Todd.
Hey, no, I agree with you, and I'm not taking anything away from Charlie, but I think it's because they made a change, and I heard a lot of players felt badly. They felt they were responsible for the pitching coach.
The hitting coach.
So maybe that made him bear down more and focus.
The hitting coach, not the pitching coach.
The hitting coach, right. But I wanted to get your opinion on this. It seems to me that baseball plays on an athlete's head more than other sports do. Maybe it's because they play a lot more games than the other team. You know, twice as many games as basketball and hockey. But, like, I remember an interview with Lenny Dykstra, and he said when he was hot, he'd go up to the plate, and it looked like there was only three guys on the field. All he could see was gaps. But then when he got in a slump, he'd go up to the plate and looked like there was 20 guys on the field. He couldn't find any gaps. I mean, did other sports, you hear other athletes and other sports talking like that, that they get in a slump in their head, they, you know, plays on their head like baseball does?
Well, it depends on how much you let it play on your head. Lenny didn't let him play on his head that too much. And most athletes who are good players, most players who are good players, regardless of the sport, yeah, they're getting a little, you can't be solid all the way through a season, regardless of what sport it is. There's going to be little down periods. And if you're good enough, you just fight your way through it and go back to the basics and do the things that you were doing, whether it was pitching or hitting. You do the things that you were doing to become to be that player that you were before.
I mean, have you ever heard of, like, basketball players complain that they're 0 for 30 in free shots?
Well, they're not 0 for 30, but, yeah, I've heard, and thanks for the call, Todd, I've heard players and say, you know, I'm just a little bit of a rut. And so you go out and work on it, and you just try to get back to where you were. But if you were a good player, you know you should always get back to where you were. By the way, another thing that happened last night, and I have not heard a report, probably will hear one today. Roman Quinn looked like he pulled his groin on his last at bat. Roman Quinn always gets hurt. That's another big part of their offense. Hey, when Roman Quinn hits home runs, then everything's all right. But he always gets hurt. But he's been a big part of this surge, too. I don't think Charlie Manuel did anything there. Like I said, Charlie's a really good guy. But come on, for people to think that he's all of a sudden turned around this team offensively because he came here and, no, it's just, I think the players saw a change and they realized it's their fault. It wasn't the hitting coach's fault, although everybody's got to take the hit. It's the way, and these players that were in slumps weren't part of the Phillies organization, but the way they train their minor league guys, Scott Kingery's got to change his swing. That uppercut swing is not who he is. He's a 290 hitter, a solid 290 hitter, if he just swings the right way. But again, he's caught up in the home run thing, and that's why he's striking out more. Then he should strike out. That uppercut swing, to worrying about all this nonsense with launch angle, the exit velocity, all this is all garbage. It's all garbage. Just go up there, as Bryce Harper said, and he said it the other day, and he's reiterated that. I see the ball, I hit it, and I run. And that's what you do. You don't worry about it. He doesn't care about exit. I think when he was interviewed after the Grand Slam on the MLB Network, I know I saw the interview. I think he talked about, you know, I don't worry about exit velocity. I don't worry about, you know, they talked about the launch angle. I said, I don't worry about that. It's just, you see the ball, you hit it in a run. It's a really, really good approach. Adam, you're on WIP.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Howard.
Got it.
All right. I'll be brief, but I do want to make this point ahead, because I wrote down what I wanted to say.
Sure.
And before I say it, I just wanted to say, you got to acknowledge 2/3 of the outfield went down. I mean, McCutcheon and obviously Odubel Herrera.
Odubel Herrera stinks, but McCutcheon was a big loss.
I thought it was a big loss. So.
But everybody, the Yankees have had 28 injuries. The Yankees have the best record in baseball.
Okay. All right. It's fair.
All right. But they have a really good farm system, which the Phillies, the way I see it, do not.
I agree with you 120%, but it's unfortunate that those two guys who had speed in the outfield and were 2/3 of your starting outfield aren't there.
I don't care, because if you're a good team, and again, McCutcheon, absolutely, absolutely. But Odubel Herrera was an egghead.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Here's what I wanted to say. I wrote it down. I'll be quick. Bryce Harper is on fire, pulling the ball, going the other way. He has 7 home runs in his last 9 games, 10 home runs in August. On the season, he's batting around .255, 26 homers, 90 RBIs, 83 walks, and around a .492 slugging percentage. He's hitting both right-handed pitchers and left-handed pitchers at a decent clip. What it all means is,
well, when you say a decent clip, he's hitting .250. So he's going to hit home run. What he's got to do is hit home runs. What he's got to do, I think, is be more aggressive when there's men on base and not worry about a walk. That's what I think he's got to do. But, yeah, when you look at the numbers, he's going to end up with a good year. He'll have, what, low 30s home runs because he's had this little stretch right now. And I get that. I get that.
Okay, I'm almost done here. I just want to finish it out. What it all means is Harper is getting hits at a rate of about one out of every four times up, and around half of those hits are extra base. Half of those hits are extra base hits. His on-base percentage is around .375, which is helped by his 83 walks. Like any power hitter, he is over the 100 strikeout mark, but he gives it all to you on offense and defense. He hustles big time, and he excels in the clutch. Right now, Bryce Harper has the Phillies tied for the second wild card spot with the Cubs. If he can stay on the field, the Phillies have a decent chance to get the second wild card.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you why they have a decent chance.
Yeah.
Because the other teams are mediocre. Everybody, they're just average. They're just okay teams. That's what the Phillies are. They're just an okay team. And all those other teams fighting for the wild card's a joke. Even if you win the one game, you're losing to the Dodgers. The Braves and the Dodgers are the two best teams. The Dodgers are the best team because pitching in the end. But when you talk about Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper is playing well. He's hustled. He's been really good around the clubhouse. Let me finish. He's been really good with the media. But the walks, I get the walks, but that's what this analytics nonsense. I think he's got to be a little more aggressive at the plate to drive in runs. That's the only, if I had any, and he's got to hit more home runs, which he's starting to do.
But the only thing that scares me, and it scares me about every superstar of every team, if he goes down for any extended period of time, or he beats his wife, or he solicits prostitutes.
That's
cool.
I mean, to say that thing. I mean, that's just stupid to say that.
The season is over. That is how important Bryce Harper is to the Phillies.
That's not right. Hey, Adam, that's not rocket science. Bryce Harper is arguably the best player in your lineup. Because I thought Rhys Hoskins would have a better year. I thought he would have more home runs. I thought he would hit for a higher average.
Rhys Hoskins is not as clutch with runners on base.
Well, I'm not so sure that anybody's clutch with runners on. Rhys Hoskins, and I don't know the number, has hit. I think he was leading the team in home runs, bringing the Phillies from a tie or behind to give them the lead on this team. Now he's going into a major slump. You know, to say if Rhys Hoskins goes down, they're done. Well, sure. If Aaron Nola goes down, they're done. And because then you have really no solid starting pitching. But, yeah, I get it. But it doesn't make me, you know, it's not like rocket science there. Art, you're on WIP.
How you doing, Howard? Listen, I analyze analytics. That's what I try to do. I sit down and say, okay, has anybody ever done this? And I hate it. I hate it. What I would say to you is we know a guy's going to hit a ball to the right side most of the time how many times he's going to do it. We know a guy's going to hit 300 is a great hitter. A guy that hits 220 is an okay hitter. An average guy's 250 hitter. We also know that three times out of 10, a guy maybe gets a hit if he's a 300 hitter. So seven times out of 10, a guy is going to be out. It's going to be out. He ain't going to get a hit.
We know that. Okay, we know that.
That's a great hitter. So analytics, do they show us that, Bryce Harper should be batting first or Rhys Hoskins should be batting second? Or this one last year, does analytics show us that when we're down like 13-5 in the first game of a doubleheader, do we give up in the sixth inning and start thinking about the second game of the doubleheader?
Well, that has nothing to do with analytics. It doesn't.
And that's my point. So where is the analyst come into play in games like that?
Well, it comes into play. It comes into play with working a pitcher. First of all, I don't like it. So they use it when you're working to work a pitcher into a lot of pitches. They obviously didn't. It didn't work against Darvish, and Joe Maddon was an idiot for taking him out. They use it. The shifts, I wouldn't call the shifts analytics. You can see where players hit the ball, and that's why there's shifts.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So that's not a big deal.
Where do you see that on film?
Yeah,
you see it on film.
Well, yeah. Well, the scouts see it. You know, it's
sure.
Analytics puts in all these numbers, and they look at their swing so they can have launch angle and exit velocity. I don't really care. When you hit a baseball, when you hit a baseball, you're going to hit it. When you hit it, unless you pop it up, it's going to come off the bat with exit velocity that, it hits at 100 miles an hour. I'll never forget that stupid analytic number, or it's not an analytic number. It was a stupid number by StatCast. Roman Quinn threw a guy out at the plate. And the guy stumbled around third, but that helped. But nonetheless, it came out of his hand at 98.6 miles an hour. Well, an outfielder takes a few steps. So people think about that. He could pitch. And then when he pitched, he threw at 74 miles an hour. I mean, the whole analytics is the death of exciting baseball. It's killing exciting baseball. Where for 100 years, players went up there and played the game. It's killing it. I don't want to... All these numbers mean, what is war? Wins above replacement. Well, usually your replacements aren't as good as you are anyway. So what is that? It's a joke. It's a joke. I really don't care. We've always used batting average, which is not a big deal anymore. We've always used on-base percentage. We've always used all those things. Slugging percentage, that's been in the game for a long time. But to coach players based on things and try to get them to get better launch angle and exit velocity is disgraceful. It's disgraceful. You hurt a guy playing the game. Just go out there and swing. Analytics, suggest and they coach you to swing up. I listen to a guy like Mike Schmidt and many hitters swing down on the baseball because the top spin will carry it. You can't say that anymore. That doesn't work anymore. It's a joke. 888-729. It's pretty simple. The Phillies are winning now, the Phillies are scoring runs now because they're hitting home runs. If they don't hit home runs, it won't make any difference. They got to continue to hit home runs. 888-729-9494 on your cell phones, #9494 on AT&T and #9494 on Verizon. Phillies play again tonight. The Eagles play on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll go through a week for the next day until Doug Peterson talks about Cody Kessler. We'll worry about signing a quarterback with the Eagles. I already explained why that's not going to, and it doesn't have to happen. We're not going to, and doesn't have to. And we're going to worry about Carson Wentz playing on Thursday. WIP Sports Time, 921. 94. I'm Howard Eskin. Tucker, my producer this morning, as of July 18th, Rhys Hoskins had the most go-ahead RBIs in baseball since the beginning. I mean, in his career,
since the day he entered the major leagues, he's led all of baseball in go-ahead RBIs,
and a lot of them have been home runs. It's just a lot of them have been on home runs. Rhys Hoskins' slump has hurt as much as anything else. But they win with home runs. It's pretty simple. That's what the Phillies win with. They win with home runs. Mark, you're on WIP. Mark.
Howard, good morning.
How are you?
Good. Can I be the voice of reason here with the Phillies?
Go ahead.
I'm excited. I hope they get the wild card. I do. I know it's one game, but it'd be a little excitement to the area. But here's the problem with the Phillies. They're a product of their own environment. They're a victim of their own stadium. Okay? They, like you said about Kingery, they swing for the fences, and when they go on the road, their offensive production, I would love to know what their offensive production is on the road compared to at home.
Well, it's obviously because not as good. It's not obviously not as good.
It's not good. Exactly. And
it's not as good. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Has anyone talked about their September schedule? Have you looked at their September schedule?
I've mentioned it numerous times. The last week, they have 11 road games, 11 straight road games.
It's brutal.
I know, 11 straight road games. And three are in Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to be playing for something, and five are in Washington.
Right. I mean, and again, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping they get in. But the pitching isn't good enough. They swing for the fences all the time.
Well, that's the only way that they're going to win.
Right. I like Dickerson. I like the way
he
shows up.
He obviously offensively has really helped this team. And Roman Quinn all of a sudden hitting has helped this team.
And Roman Quinn should be their leadoff hitter if he's healthy. Just put him in the leadoff spot.
The problem is he pulled a groin last night, so I don't know how long he's going to be out. He's always getting hurt.
But, you know, I just feel we've got to take this one game at a time.
Sure.
And people are thinking, you know, we're going to win the World Series now after that grand slam the other night. We just got to be patient.
Well, if Joe Maddon had done the right thing, and it's great that the Phillies won the game. I mean, it's great, yeah. And it's great that Harper created that moment. And it was just an unbelievable moment. It's great. However, if Joe Maddon had managed better, they would have never been in that situation. Harper would have never come up with the bases loaded. But that's all, you know, it's Joe Maddon did it, and the Phillies overcame a 5-0 deficit, and they won the game. All right, Chuck, what do we got from you this morning, Chuck?
I think I'm more outraged this morning than I've ever been calling your show. But we're going to keep it polite and professional. I don't want to get zapped on my call time. I know I'm backed up here. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you, always.
I know. I understand.
You've got that infamous Howard broad brush going today, and it's somewhere between annoying and difficult to hear. I mean, number one, you got to walk back. If you're a baseball purist, you can't stand analytics. To use your terms, that's not typically how we characterize this, but that's a joke because it's not true. It's a generalization. It's an insult to baseball purists.
Has baseball become boring?
Here's the trend.
Answer my question.
I try to set the table, and I get 7 words in, maybe 14.
Chuck, you just said something, and I'm going to challenge it. Well, I'm asking you.
But let me finish.
Chuck, here's the deal.
I promise to let you finish.
No, but I'm
going to
challenge you on your points. I'm going to challenge you.
That I haven't made.
You just said. You can't go back to baseball. Has baseball become boring?
Let me just ask you this. Before we change the narrative to something more convenient to your thesis, that's what you love to do. You're good at it, by the way. You're a skilled artsman in that regard. But did we not sit down with a baseball purist, Larry Boa, first question about analytics? He said, listen, quote, I'm on board with analytics. I'm a believer. I think they take it to an extreme when they get into
it. Chuck, I'm going to tell you this. Boa was making you feel good. All right? I know for a fact he was making you feel good. And you know what? You had a good time with him. He made you feel good. He's not on board with analytics.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I believe he was sincere. I believe he was genuine. And when we push back on certain points, I don't think he's trying to appease me or play me off.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when you work for the Phillies, you've got to say you're on board. That's the problem.
Well, you can certainly start off by saying I'm against that advanced analytics. Be working for the Phillies or not.
Because he didn't know you. So I'm just telling you, he's not on board. Like anybody else, you use it as a guide, not as an end all be all. And the problem is in baseball, it's an end all be all. The game has become too long. It's become boring. Now, it wasn't boring this last week for the Phillies because they won games. But it was boring when they were down, what was it, 4-0 or 5-0? I was in Jacksonville.
You're not beyond advice, right? Before we dive into some of the details, I'd like to get off the plate. But you're not beyond advice. I don't think you are. I've had dinner with you a few times. You seem very open to constructive criticism. Then I would recommend this respectfully. I always say respectfully. I'm not being cocky. Every week, your narrative, your monologue talks about and denounces Major League Baseball and the Phillies in some way, shape, or form. Then don't watch. If you're so bored by the game, you'll be less informed by not watching. That's apparent. And don't watch. Just stick to your favorite angles in the football.
No, that's incorrect, Chuck. That's incorrect.
Last time I counted.
That's incorrect, Chuck. I loved the game of baseball.
You did.
And I do watch it. But I don't like the length of the games. I don't like the boredom that exists too many times in the game. Just an at-bat takes an eternity. The waiting on pitches, you see a pitch, Bryce Harper's philosophy, see the pitch, hit it, and run. But that philosophy doesn't exist as much anymore. And they've changed. Scott Kingery, I hope he goes back to being the player that I think he can be and be a good average hitter. And with that, he'll hit for power. But that uppercut swing is just going to create more strikeouts. But in baseball now, we don't care about strikeouts. Strikeouts don't matter.
Here's basically, for Len, let's talk duration quickly and jump off that. For duration, Major League Baseball fans can get used to give or take. The pitch clock will help, and I'm a big advocate of that. But give or take, they can get used to a three-hour game. Football can get used to a three-hour game. That's the product. That's what they present, and that's what we seem to enjoy. Now, attendance will support that the better teams are doing good, the other teams are doing worse, and that's something. Who cares? I don't care. I think it's very impressive the Phillies are plus 7,000 fans per game this year. I don't know if they'll lose some of that.
I don't know if that's a real number, Chuck.
Well, they publish it, Howard. You know, when you say that World Series titles and Super Bowl titles come with an asterisk, any guy at the top of his field, and I'm not asserting I'm that guy at the top of any field, okay? But anybody you talk to, whether you want – I don't know who you do respect in Major League Baseball. Certainly Boa is. I know that. If you want to talk to Joe Girardi, I've had the lucky blessing of talking to him.
I've talked to Joe Girardi, and he's not totally on board with analytics.
These guys don't say we won with an asterisk. That when you win a Super Bowl, you've earned.
I don't know what your point. What's your point?
The point is that you talk about New England is really 3-5 in the Super Bowls, and then I've heard you denounce the Phillies World Series because it was Tampa, not the Yankees.
No. I didn't say that. I didn't denounce the winning a World Series is very, very difficult to do, just like winning any championship is very difficult to do.
Agreed.
Okay.
Right.
They beat Tampa, and that's all well and good. But the best team in the National League that year never got there, record-wise. The best team in the American League. It was just a fact, Chuck. It was just a fact.
You said, quote, unquote, they were very lucky to have played Tampa, not the Yankees.
Well, it was obviously a good advantage for them that the two best teams, I think there was another team in the American League, I don't know if it was the Angels, that had the best record, and I think the Cubs had the best record that year. And it was fortunate for them that they didn't have to play those teams. And that's not denouncing anything. It's not denouncing the world. Okay. They won a world championship, which is very, very difficult to do. And the fact that they did it is terrific. So don't put words in my mouth, Chuck.
I won't. I've heard you belittle the World Series whenever Tampa.
I'm not belittling it. I'm just stating fact that two teams with better records didn't get there. I don't even know if the Yankees were that team.
Let's zip up this point by saying this.
Well, I will say this, Chuck. They should. Do you believe they should have won more than one World Series?
Have we agreed on that previously?
Okay.
I just want to make sure that everything's still working. I know your cognitive skills are very good, by the way. Hats off for that. I know you know we've talked about that. And I think Charlie Manuel may have cost them two more. The playing for the wins record was absolutely fatally
wrong.
It was a joke. Okay, by my scorecard, and tell me if my tally sheet is wrong, I've got the Phillies playing in five World Series, winning two, bottom line. It's probably a start performance at Grimley Financial is how we do bottom line. I've got the Eagles playing in three Super Bowls, and they've won one. So far, the Phillies have doubled the bottom line of the Eagles. Is that true, sir? Your Honor, yes.
You know what? You lost me in the middle of that. All those numbers.
Well, five World Series isn't much to get lost in with two wins and three Super Bowls.
What the hell are you talking about? Five World Series?
I'm just talking about the accomplishment that the Phillies have played in five World Series. Or am I wrong?
Five World Series in their history?
80, 83, 93, 2-8, and 2-9. Or am I wrong? Did I miss one? I don't want to add one.
And they've won how many? And you went back to 80, which is irrelevant in this conversation.
Oh, 1980 down.
Wait a minute. I love that team. Chuck, I love that team.
I love this.
Wait a minute. That team was so much better than the 2008 team. It was a joke.
That's a debate for another dinner. You pick the place. I don't know. But the Eagles have been to three Super Bowls and won one. So far, the Phillies have given the fans
way. Which is irrelevant today. Chuck, I got to go.
Okay, look, you got to go because you're losing ground.
I'm up against the clock here. I want to take.
All right. You have a great weekend.
All right. Hey, Chuck.
Be farewell. Be nice. Smile, Lance. Come on.
You have a great weekend, Chuck.
You know what?
Take your computer and just shut it down for a week.
Look for the baseball purist. I got to go find Al, I guess, and Mike.
Okay, now, people that know the game, Al, it's all about, that was a misnomer, Chuck. People that know the game, I don't care about all those other things. I don't even know what that meant, that they played in this and they won this and they didn't win this. It doesn't matter. It's what's happening now. It's what we do moving forward. I mean, it's a joke. Roger, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. I haven't spoken to you since Allen Iverson played.
Wow, that goes back a ways.
Yeah. I've always believed that the Eagles give you something so you can put rose-colored glasses on about Wentz and their future.
No, I'm not. Hey, listen, I want them to play. I want them to play, but that's not going to happen.
But that's not the point of my call.
You just mentioned it. I don't know what you're...
The real point of my call is I think you're always really tough on the Phillies and perhaps more objective than you are with the Eagles. And what I wanted to ask you, and with your checkered past with Charlie, I think I know the answer, but on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most effect, how much has Charlie caused this 5-game or 4-game resurgence of the Phillies?
Charlie, personally, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, 3. And the reason I say that is because the change in itself got the players to recognize that it was their fault. They got a guy they liked. I didn't think John Mailey was a good hitting coach, but I'm not in there every day. Those players liked him. And Reese Hoskins and Harper, the two guys that we spoke to before the game when they made that decision, and they both said, it's not the hitting coach, it's us. And Bryce Harper said the other night after the Grand Slam, they asked him about Charlie. He said, I see the ball, I hit it, and I run. And that's what he does. Charlie, the change woke players up. Okay, we caused this guy to get fired. And they maybe refocused a little bit. It helped that the Cubs obviously don't have a good enough pitching staff this year. It helped that they have a horrible bullpen. And it helped that San Diego came in. It's like when they swept the Mets 4 games, everybody got crazy. Remember that? They swept them. They had to come from behind all the time. That wasn't going to be sustainable. So those things kind of changed. Now, am I tough on the Phillies? They should have won one. The 80 team was the best team in my lifetime. All right? That was the best team in my lifetime. They were just, Hall of Famers all over the place. But the Phillies just, when they won that World Series in 2008, that was a great moment. It was a great, great moment. However, they should have won more than one World Series. Am I wrong in that assessment?
No, that's true.
Okay. So, when you say I'm tougher on the Phillies, they've let us down. Now, the Eagles have let us down. There's no question. But now they're in Andy Reid never won a Super Bowl. And people just, you can't change that. And it should have happened. They should have won one. Donovan didn't play well. They blame the coach. I don't blame the coach. It's usually the players that win and the players lose. However, the Eagles have let us down over the years. And the fact that they only won one Super Bowl is over all those years, obviously it's not acceptable. Now, in this run right now with Carson Wentz, it will be a negative. It will not only be disappointing, and it'll be something to criticize if they don't win another Super Bowl with Carson Wentz as their quarterback.
If he survives.
We don't know. It's like any quarterback if they survive. Remember, Tom Brady, I think, missed the season too. So
let me just ask you to clarify one thing. It sounds like you're saying that the change to a different batting coach is what may be propelling the Phillies, not necessarily the person that it is.
Yes, because the players now recognize they got somebody fired. And that happens when you change a manager. There's that energy right off the bat, and I don't know if they refocus or they kind of do the things they need to do, but the change, not necessarily the person, is what changed this. Well, what advice could he give them in 3 days? Come on now. So that's my answer.
Is he the next manager?
No, absolutely not. Not even 100% no.
All right, Howard, thank you.
All right. You see, that's the problem this creates. 100% no. 100% no. He's not the next manager. And Matt Klentak made that clear. He's here for 7 weeks or whatever the amount of the season that's left, and that's it. He's not the next. I think Gabe Kapler's coming back because if they're successful, make the playoffs, you can't just exclude the manager unless there's somebody better, and Charlie's not the guy. No, absolutely 100% no, Charlie will not be the manager. 94 WIP. I'll talk to Mark Lawrence. I'm going to try to get to some of these callers after Mark. I just want to give a little, have Mark give a little rundown on what to look for in football. WIP Sports Time is 9:43. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin on this Saturday morning. The Phillies have won four straight, and it's amazing that that's the longest winning streak this team has had this year. When you have to hit home runs to win, and the Phillies are basically that kind of team, it's not a sustainable long winning streak. And that's got to change if they're going to be better down the stretch. But we'll talk a little football right now. To do that, Mark Lawrence, who will be with us during the season. Mark, how are you? We can't wait for football.
Yeah, the pig is in the air, as they say, Howard, and I'm all excited just as well as you are. Looking forward to both college football and the NFL kicking off here real soon.
All right, what things should we – let's take a look at the NFL. What are you looking for as we go into the season?
Well, as we head into the season, initially, you know, the way we handicap, obviously, is game-by-game results that are occurring. So we have to have some sort of a take on the season before we go into the season. And with that, what I generally like to do is I like to fade teams that were highly successful the year before in terms of amount of victories. Like if they won 13 or more games, I'll look to play against them right out of the gate because, number one, they're popular with the public, and number two, they're popular with the odds maker, and number three, the lines are a little bit inflated. So some of the guys that were really, really fat last year, like the L.A. Rams, those types of teams, will look to go against those kind of teams to begin the football season. The other is coaching changes in the National Football League, and you know, a lot depends upon the coaching change that has occurred and the reasons why. Some of them are because most of them are almost always because of lack of production, but you know, you have cases like down here in Miami with Adam Gase. The players just couldn't get along with the guy, and he didn't have, and they were going all trending downhill. The players were so. The Brian Flores inherits a cupboard that's really, really bare down here. So you have to play that accordingly with these new coaches as to what they're inheriting when they come on for that first season.
So you think Miami is some team to look at early in the season?
I think they're a team to fade early in the season. Now, by season's end, for sure they will be. Now, in the beginning of the football season, there may be that rah-rah type of thing going on in camp, and the other teams may also be looking past them. So you sort of kind of play down to the level of that type of opposition, especially early on in the season. So I won't be fading the Dolphins in the first month of the season, but I'll certainly be looking to do it in the second half of the year.
All right, the Super Bowl winner, you do what the first game?
Well, the Super Bowl winner generally shows up pretty well in the first game. They sort of flex their muscles, and they do well. But it's the games 2, 3, and 4 afterwards where they really tend to struggle. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's back to work for them. And it's also they become marquee games in most other teams' schedules. So for the most part, we play against Super Bowl winners. But that first game, I'll either play on them or let them go.
And then the Super Bowl loser you play against, right?
Yeah, that's where the big money is. You fade the Super Bowl losers because you know, they're obviously downtrodden. The L.A. Rams are going to be that team this year, and I'll have no problem whatsoever fading them. Not so much because of the ugliness of which they lost the Super Bowl, but the manner in which they won their football games last year, they were really, really plus in the turnovers and not so big in the yardage that they won the net yards. That always comes back to bite a team. And they're going to open up on the season at Carolina. If they go favorite at Carolina, that is one of the best Super Bowl fades there are, is to fade a Super Bowl loser, road favorite, non-conference game. And if it's a game one of the season, it's time to snap the rubber band.
All right, you look at the Eagles. How do you look at them early from a betting standpoint? I think they're going to be a good team, but from a betting standpoint, how would you look at it?
Well, overall, I do like the chances of the Eagles, and I like them largely because of the division in which they live. I think they can capitalize on the East this year. I think there's a lot of – I don't know, you'll get the feeling about the camaraderie of the personnel, but it looks like there's a lot of –
really strong personnel there. I like the makeup of this football team. The one thing I'm going to be concerned a little bit about is, again, that statistical thing from last year, where if you break what the Eagles did down last year, it doesn't equate into backing them the next year. They won 10 games, but they were out-yarded for the season, and they were plus in the turnovers. That usually comes back to bite a team. But I still think that they have the personnel there in place to win the division.
Yeah, turnovers are the biggest thing. I think the defense is going to be different. The defense was not good last year, but they were playing from behind a lot. That didn't help. But the turnovers are unacceptable. If they change, I mean, obviously, statistically, when you're teams in the Super Bowl are usually better in plus minus in turnovers than the other teams, correct?
Absolutely. That's part of the reason they got there is those turnovers carry them that way. And the thing about turnovers is they're almost always a regression to the mean, where if you were really, really plus in turnovers one year, you tend to go back the other way and flip-flop the other way. If you were really negative, you kind of tend to go back to the norm. So, you know, those are things to watch for early on in the football season. And the Rams were one of those beneficial teams last year in turnovers.
All right. Now, the sports book got bigger at the Borgata, and we start there in a couple of weeks. But if they had a college game to bet the first weekend, which is the last weekend of August, correct?
Yes.
Who would you go after?
Well, you know, there's going to be really technically two weeks in August, August 24th, and then August 31st is going to be the first weekend. But I would say this, August 24th, there's only two games in the college football card. But I think Hawaii really warrants a strong look. They've got a ton of returning starters, 19 starters coming back for Hawaii. And you've got Arizona going there literally in a vacation game to begin the football season. It's a bad, bad spot for Arizona, for any team to open up the year in Hawaii, especially against an experienced team like the Hawaii Rainbows. I think that Hawaii has a chance to win this football game straight up.
All right. All right, Mark. We'll talk to you during the season. And let's go Eagles. Well, let's go Phillies. Let's go everybody. But we'll leave the baseball alone for now because football is becoming.
Is it a Charlie Manuel thing? The reason?
No, stop.
Oh, okay.
No.
Stop. I just thought he'd stir the pot.
It was the change that woke up the players a little bit, not the fact that Charlie came in.
I hear you.
All right, Mark. Have a great weekend. We'll talk.
You do
to you
the
later.
Same, Howard.
All right,
thanks.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll be with you again Monday night with Joe Giglio. I don't know what I'll have to straighten him out on this week. I'm sure he'll be in total fear that Carson Wentz has not played a preseason game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of things. But Glenn and Ray are next. Tucker Bagley. You know, the first name's easy, Tucker. It's always, there's so many different last names here, but I got it right, and I wanted to make sure that you were acknowledged. Everybody have a great weekend. Glenn and Ray are next. I'm sure there'll be a lot of football. There'll be all this Charlie Manuel save the day talk. It's all good. WIP Sports Time is now 9:58.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.